of the most recent newsletter at the back of the church. I just want to highlight some of the key announcements that are in the newsletter, but just want to reinforce them a bit. Okay? The Monday Fellowship will meet tomorrow in the Wesley Room at 2 o'clock. Then they'll have a tea party in the coffee bar afterwards because they've invited the speakers that they've had in the past year. You're asked to bring an object that you treasure and be prepared to tell them what it means to you. Sue Cartner's Thanksgiving. Sue Jacobs will be taking the Thanksgiving service for Sue Cartner on Tuesday, that's the 28th of July, next Tuesday, here at High Street. This will be followed by refreshments in the coffee bar and in the lower hall. The church family picnic is on Sunday, the 2nd of August, and is on the Lees following the morning worship. This is an invitation to everyone. Come along, get to know each other better. Please bring your own picnic and something to sit on. If you would like to stay on afterwards, the Whitney Town Band is giving a free concert on the Lees that afternoon. And please note, there'll be no coffee bar after the service on that day. Florence McCurrough. The Reverend Kathy Flynn will be taking the Thanksgiving service for Florence on Monday, the 3rd of August at 11 a.m. The service is in High Street, and it'll be followed by burial at the Windrush ceremony. And now we're delighted to be looking forward to welcoming our new minister, the Reverend Molly Chitiquindo. Please make a note of these important dates. Tuesday, the 1st of September at 4 p.m., it's a welcome service for Molly here at High Street, of course. And on Sunday, the 6th of September, it will be Reverend Molly's first Sunday morning service at High Street. Everyone is warmly invited to stay after the morning service on Sunday, the 6th of September, for a bring and share lunch, as we extend a warm welcome to Reverend Molly and her family. Please bring a dish to share if you're able, but most importantly, come and join us for food, fellowship, and celebration. Further details of that will be available nearer the time. Today's service has been led by our superintendent minister, Reverend Andrew Briggs, with the readings by Fred and the prayers of intercessions led by Jane. As ever, after the service, the prayer team will be available under the stained glass window to pray for you or with you. Now perhaps a prayer before worship. Lord, as we come to worship, still our hearts and focus our minds. Fill this place with your peace, your spirit, and may all we offer today bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship here this morning. It's a special morning because we will be formally welcoming a new member of the church here. I'll say more about that a bit later, but we'll begin with our opening hymn. God is here as we, his people, meet to offer praise and prayer.
Thank you.
Today we share in Holy Communion together. We begin with our prayers, which the words of which will be on the screen. So please join in the words which are in bolder type. Let us pray. We say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God. We say together, Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Thanks be to God. And the collect. Gracious God, whose love for the world is revealed in your Son, our Saviour, grant that he may live in our hearts by faith and be proclaimed in our lives by love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory and praise, now and forever. Amen. We join together in the words of the canticle, Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. We sing again, The love of God comes close.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and we will now hear our reading for this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, and Fred will read it for us.
The reading this morning is from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33, and this is from the New Living Translation. We also have verses 44 to 52. Here is another illusion. Jesus used, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in the branches." Jesus also used this illustration. "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." Now it's verses 44 to 52, Matthew chapter 13. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovers a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and brought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up into this shore, sat down and sorted good fish into a crate, but they threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" "Yes," they said, "we do." Then he added, "Every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from the storeroom new gems of truth as well as old." Amen.
Thank you for that reading. Well, I'd like to begin by just thanking you all for your forbearance during these last few months when we have been a full-time minister down in this section, especially the last 3 months while I've been on sabbatical. Thanks especially to the Reverend James Skinner for keeping a watchful eye over the pastoral care and intervening when needed, and to Jude for chairing the General Church meeting. And also to the stewards and staff here at High Street for stepping up as and when needed. I'm pleased to say that Reverend Molly has arrived in the circuit. She's moved in and will be taking up her duties as from the 1st of September, when we will formally welcome her to the circuit as a service, as Fraser mentioned earlier. And I'm sure Molly would welcome gestures of welcome, but please don't contact her about church business until she officially starts. As we turn to today's gospel reading, we find that it covers several short parables told by Jesus, all of which are about the kingdom of God, which Jesus has declared has arrived with him. Well, the word kingdom has particular connotations in today's world, but I think it's best to think of it as being under a particular authority. The kingdom of God is under the authority of God. Everyone is welcome, but only those who choose to follow the way of Jesus are really members of it. Jesus uses these parables to describe the kingdom as having small beginnings with his arrival, as small as a mustard seed, he says, but it will grow to become like a mature tree where all can make their home. He also says it's like yeast that works its way through the dough, influencing every part of it. And for those who come close to it, it's seen as the most valuable thing that you might want and would give up everything to attain. We are all invited to be part of, to take part in this treasure of great value, the community of the kingdom of God, or the body of Christ, as it's otherwise known, the community of those who follow the way of Jesus. No one is excluded from it except by choice. The Bible tells us that we are all made in the image of God, and yet we are all different. We are all children of God, whether we choose to acknowledge him or not. And just as a good parent wants good things for their children, so God wants good things for us, his children. John Wesley was often excluded from churches because he preached universal salvation, the idea that everyone could enter the kingdom of God through being saved. You didn't have to be part of a specially chosen group. If we choose Jesus, we are prepared and are prepared to change the way we live from ignoring God's will for us to living a life the way he has taught us through Jesus. And if we have faith in him, then this is all we need. When we ignore God, then we are prone to sin. That is, behaving in ways that put up barriers between us and him. Like when a child is disobedient and makes their parents angry or sad. But when we follow Jesus, we follow the ultimate guide to living the life that God requires of us. Now, Wesley said that everyone could be saved and know that to be the truth. He put it in what we call the four alls of Methodism. And as good Methodists, you'll be able to recite them to me, won't you? I'm sure some of you can. What's the first one? All can be saved, or may be saved. I suppose that's the second one. The first one is all need to be saved, yes. And then the third one is all may know themselves to be saved. And the fourth one is all may be saved to the uttermost. Today, if you look at the Methodist Church website, the first words that you see there say, I think, the same thing, perhaps in a more modern form. God loves you unconditionally, no strings attached. That's the good news. To fulfill his kingdom, God works with who and what we are, even what we might consider the most unlikely material. I guess many of you will remember the film Billy Elliot. Yeah? About a boy living in County Durham, younger son of a mining family whose father and brother both work down the pit. Billy is unusual, at least for boys from that background. He wants to be a ballet dancer. He's not an obvious choice to be a ballet dancer. He's a working class boy with a Tyneside accent and sometimes the language to match. His dad and his brother are not much impressed, but his ballet teacher, and later those interviewing children at the Royal Ballet School, see not what he is now, but what he has the potential to become. Jesus often works with the people that others would think unlikely. You might think that if God wanted to share any kind of message, the people he would choose would be the high religious leaders, or the most important people in the city. But not Jesus. He goes down to the sea and sees some ordinary fishermen mending their nets, and he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." The kingdom of God is not about the elite. It is for everyone. Now, if you wanted to plant a tree in your garden for shade or to encourage birds to nest, you probably wouldn't pick a mustard seed to plant because it's so tiny. But again, Jesus is looking to the future. If he only ever picked people who were perfectly equipped, he wouldn't pick any of us. He picks those who are willing, and by the work of his Spirit, he equips them with the gifts that they need to do his work. As his church, we are called to mirror this, to look for the gifts and graces that every person has been given by God to do his work. Do we do this, do you think? Or do we tend to be selective about those we choose using different criteria? Perhaps maybe we pick those who have done the job before and have experience. Do we overlook the person with the potential? I'm reminded of an experience I had quite a long time ago now, when I was first involved with the junior section of the Boys Brigade. Six boys, and each team had a lead role it was to organise the group, to make sure they had the equipment they needed for the task, to collect the subs and record them in the book, to make sure that they were in the right place at the right time, and so on. They were usually the oldest boy in the team. Well, the adult leaders would have a meeting in September to decide who would be the leading boys for the coming year. And I remember one boy that we had whose name was Daniel. And he would be the oldest in his team and therefore the next one in line to be leading boy. But he was not so obviously leadership material. He was a little bit small for his age, and he tended to be rather immature and unpredictable in his behaviour. Some of the leaders expressed doubts about appointing him as a leading boy for his team, and they thought that maybe we should just swap the teams around a bit so that we could give somebody else that particular job in the team. But I wasn't convinced that that was the right answer. I'd seen flashes of something more to him at times, and I expressed the opinion that he should at least be given the chance. I'd observed before that sometimes young people don't step up and take responsibility until they are put in the position of having to. So we appointed Daniel as leading boy, and he proved me right. He was so proud to be given the responsibility that he did his very best, and he did a great job. He more than repaid the risk that we took in selecting him. This is the risk that God takes every time he puts us to work for the kingdom or puts any of his work in our hands. But if we have as much confidence in others as he has in us, maybe great things can happen. What about ourselves as individuals? Do we sometimes close our ears and our eyes to God's call because we don't think we're up to it? I know I did. Again, I remember a time at Boys Brigade, this was later, when I'd taken over as captain of the company in Bristol, and at the same time being leader in charge of the junior section, and I was desperate for somebody to take over leading the junior section. There was one mother of two boys who were a bit of a handful. But I noticed that she had a certain way with them, and so I asked her if she would help out. It was one of the best moves I ever made. She was reluctant at first and thought she had no skills of working with children. But she turned out to be brilliant, and very soon she was running the section. And from there, she surprised me one day by asking for a reference for a job in school as a teaching assistant. She got the job and was equally good at that. I wonder how many children benefited because she listened to God's call at that time. God calls all of us to be a part of his kingdom because we are all created by him, made in his image, and therefore his children. And like any family, he calls us to love and care for one another. We show our love to him when we show our love for one another. Jesus calls us to love our neighbor. Our catechism tells us that our neighbor is whoever we meet or to whom we can show love. There are no limits to whom we should show love by treating people with dignity, respect, and justice. It also tells us that we love our neighbor as ourselves by doing for our neighbor everything that we would like others to do for us. Jesus showed what such love might mean through his sacrificial death on the cross, pure sacrificial love. And this is the reason why the recent church council here has agreed to apply for this church to become a church of sanctuary, because it is a commitment to seek justice, dignity, respect, and hospitality for anyone who has been made homeless and needs to seek safety, or who is a stranger amongst us. Jesus' origins seemed unlikely. People asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And is this not the carpenter's son? His life lived in obscurity, changes in his life from carpentry to preaching, from steady income to hand-to-mouth existence, from village life to life on the move, from a sleepy backwater to Jerusalem. There are things God wants to do in our lives. He is always doing something new. He is never finished with us. Maybe he is working in your life in secret. Is it time to speak to someone about it? Maybe now's the time he wants to make a change. Maybe now's the moment to come clean. What does he want to do with you? Amen. We're going now to sing 702 from Singing the Faith, I Will Speak Out for Those Who Have No Voices. Sonia, would you like to come and join me? Now, Sonia is no stranger to you, is she? I'm sure you will recognize Sonia. She has been and continues to be an employee of the circuit, working from here, leading our town chaplaincy. But Sonia has felt God speaking to her over the past year or so, I suppose, at least. And Sonia has felt that, first of all, she would like to become a member here. She's been a communicant member of the Church of England, but we would like to formally receive her into membership here in the Methodist Church in this place also. And Sonia has also felt God calling her to offer for local preaching. And that's the next step that Sonia wishes to move forward, listening to what God is saying to her. And so we rejoice in that. And today and here and now, I'm going to just receive Sonia into membership. I will be asking you a question as well in a minute, to which there is a response, and you are asked to respond with God's help. We will. Okay, so Sonia, you have been a member of another Christian communion within the Church of Christ. Do you now wish to be a member of the Methodist Church?
I do.
Sonia, we receive and welcome you as a member of the Methodist Church and of the Church in this place. May the Lord bless you with his grace and fill you with his peace. Amen. And I invite Fraser to come as a representative of the Church, of the Methodist Church here in this place, to offer the hand of fellowship to Sonia. Yes.
Sonia, on behalf of everyone at High Street, I just want to say it's a joy to welcome you into fellowship in this church. And we thank God's help for the journey that actually brought you here. We celebrate the gifts that you bring, and we look forward to working with you on the life and mission of this church. Welcome.
Okay, so welcome. Thank you. And I just have a few sort of questions to ask Sonia now. So Sonia, I ask you now to respond to God's love and grace by making these promises. Do you commit yourself with us to the Christian life of worship and service and to be open to the renewing power of God?
I do.
Will you continue to seek the strength of God's Spirit as you follow Jesus Christ in your daily life?
With God's help, I will.
And will you witness by word and deed to the good news of God in Christ and so bring glory to God?
With God's help, I will.
And so I turn to you as the congregation here, members of the body of Christ. We rejoice to welcome our sister Sonia. Will you maintain the church's life of worship and service and build each other up in love as we follow Christ our Lord?
With God's help.
So welcome, Sonia, and I just have a few things to give you here that might just help you know a little bit more about what it means to be Methodist. First of all, your membership card.
Wow.
You'll get a new one soon, but that's for now. A card that tells you about the Methodist way of life, and a booklet, Finding the Way, Getting Started with the Methodist Way of Life. The book that I mentioned earlier, the Catechism for people called Methodists. I hope you've all got a copy of this, because this is what we believe as Methodists. And this is called By Name. It's about a little booklet about being a member of the Methodist Church. So I hope you enjoy and find those helpful.
Thank you so much.
And we look forward to continuing with you in the worship and fellowship.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Anything you wanted to say when you can? If you want to, you don't have to.
Much for that lovely warm welcome. Bless you all. I feel so honoured to be here. It's a joy. It's been a journey for it. Yeah, as Andrew said, a year really seriously wanting to join the Methodist Church. I've been working here for about 4 years as a chaplain lead, so I've been learning along the way about the Methodist way, and I just love everything about it. John Wesley is my hero, so I'm very, very excited to be amongst you and to see where God takes me and this journey ahead. So thank you so much for welcoming me so beautifully, and God bless you all. Thank you.
And so we will be giving Sonia a note to preach, so you may see her standing here leading worship with you very soon. We'll now lead into our prayers of intercession, which are going to be led by Jane.
Well, first of all, we're going to pray for Sonia. Heavenly Father, giver of all good things, we ask your blessing over Sonia as she sets out on the new adventure you have called her to. Thank you for all that she is, her passion for you, and your light which shines in her and through her. May she discover new depths of treasure, new insights in your word, new ways of speaking and sharing the good news of Jesus. Protect her and her lovely family as they journey forward together. Amen. And we continue in our prayers. The kingdom of heaven, a mustard seed, yeast, hidden treasure, a fine pearl, a net, a storeroom of treasures new and old, offered to us all, a gift freely given, God with us, a treasure of inestimable value, with us, right here and now. How we thank you, Father God, for guiding us to the treasure of knowing Jesus. Maybe it was decades ago, or maybe very recently, but always an ongoing journey of discovery. Jesus, Master of parables and storytelling, help us to be storytellers too, opening treasure chests of love and possibilities. So many tiny seeds waiting to be planted, so much hidden treasure to discover. If only our families, our friends, the whole world could catch a glimpse of the treasure that you are and all you invite us to share. Lord, we hold before you our beautiful world, so shrouded in darkness. We pray for leaders everywhere that they would listen to your call for justice, mercy, and humility. We think of countries at war, Russia, Ukraine, Iran, Israel, Sudan, a list too long to name. But you, Lord, know everyone. Have mercy. Let there be breakthrough and peace. We pray for the millions across our world who are needing humanitarian aid because of war, because of ongoing conflicts, famine, and devastating earthquakes. We pray for leaders right across the world that instead of endlessly seeking power and control, they might show compassion for their people. We think of leaders here in the UK, our own newly formed government, and ask that you grant wisdom and guidance to our new Prime Minister and his Cabinet. We pray for unity amongst the churches across our country, that as Christians we might truly be light and salt amongst the communities we live in, that your kingdom might grow here on earth and here in Whitney. We hold before you those who need our prayers right now, those who are living with anxiety, those facing surgery or waiting for results, those who have important decisions to make, those who are grieving, those who cannot be with us today. So many people needing you. Be close, dear Lord. And now we ask blessings on the person sitting to our right. And to our left. Father God, you know their needs today. Be close, we pray. And for ourselves, we pray that we may continue throughout our lives to be treasure seekers, bold and generous in our sharing, kind and open in our listening. May we speak truth and love and light. May our words, like parables, create wondering questions and invitations to the treasure that is to be found in knowing Jesus. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen. We're now going to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The words of the peace. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us therefore keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Would you like to just share a sign of the peace with those near to you? We will sing our communion hymn, Come, My Table is a Meeting Place. If it's comfortable to remain standing, then please do. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. We praise you, gracious Father, our Maker and Sustainer. You created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. Though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. He proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead. You exalted him in glory. And through him you sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. And so, with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we join in the triumphant hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Savior Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Send down your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever, and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Please be seated. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst." Draw near with faith.
I'm
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. We sing, "Let him to whom we now belong." Thank you to our musicians and singers for your ministry of music. And now the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace, in the power of the Spirit, to live and work to God's praise and glory. Thanks be to God. Amen.